Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone unturned. Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." We continue in our series of tears, and this morning our tears are the ones Jesus shed for Jerusalem. Our Jesus is incredible. He's amazing. But you already know that, because I think that's why you gather. To be in a community with others who understand the magnificence of Christ. Last week we saw Jesus' heart broken because of death and the power it has over creation. Death, the consequence, played out because of the fall of man. The death that was warned to Adam when he was told that he may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God had told Adam, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. And so began generations of lives ending in death. And Jesus, there at the tomb of Lazarus, seeing the results of this death in the faces of his friends, caused him to weep. And we talked last week that those were angry tears. He was angry at what had happened to his creation. This morning, we are seeing Jesus again shedding tears. This time, his tears are shed over Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the central prominent place of the Jewish people. It is where the temple stood, and it was the center of the Israelite life. And from the top of a hill, while riding on a donkey, coming from the Mount of Olives, Jesus has a beautiful view of the entire city. And he sees how lost the people in that city are. And he cries over them. And the Greek word used this time to describe Jesus crying is different than last week, which was quiet tears. This time, the word means expressing uncontainable, audible grief. It looks a lot more like what Mary and Martha did, loud wailing. Jesus was sobbing with big, heavy sobs and sounds, and probably looked a bit of a mess. But these were deep tears of mourning and lament. He's in the middle of a parade, honoring him, but his heart isn't there. But it is loudly crying over the lost people of Jerusalem, because he loves them. Now, I'm sure that the crowd are confused by Jesus' tears, and they think that Jesus is just overwhelmed by all the attention that they're giving him. And they perhaps think these might be tears of joy. How wrong they are. And Jesus speaks aloud to Jerusalem. I'm not sure how much was heard, whether it was half under his breath, beneath the shouts of Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It's almost as though Jesus has just blocked out the crowds, and all he sees now is Jerusalem. And his words are filled with lament as he prophesies, "The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. 40 years later, the Roman general Titus laid siege to Jerusalem, and he built an embankment around the city that prevented anything from coming in and anyone from going out, just as Jesus had said. Jesus is amazing. His heart is so full of love and compassion that he's mourning over the imminent destruction of Jerusalem and all those living there. He isn't thinking what maybe we might think, yeah, you guys kind of deserve it because we know what you're about to do. And so too does Jesus know what they're about to do. We know that the people shouting Hosanna will soon be shouting crucify him. And they'll watch and jeer as Jesus is cruelly tortured and nailed to a cross. These are the ones for whom Jesus is mourning over. He has no animosity in his heart toward them, even though he knows exactly what they're going to do. In the Gospel of Matthew 23:37, Jesus expresses his heart about Jerusalem. He says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Jesus' heart is broken because they did not recognize the time of God's coming to them. The Messiah was there right under their noses, fulfilling all the prophecies that had been spoken of him. But they did not believe it. They chose to close their eyes to the revelations right in front of them. And with hard hearts and stubborn eyes, they fought to keep a broken system alive, instead of embracing this new thing that Jesus was offering them. Tragic. But the heart of Christ for the lost is so amazing. And Jesus' tears are so real and so raw. And we know the pains that he goes through to express that love. No greater love is this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But Jesus' heart has not changed for mankind today. We could never be so wicked or so misled that Jesus would not cry over us. Jesus loves us despite our brokenness, despite our ignorance, despite our outright rebellion. So we can never say, Jesus doesn't love me, because there is too much evidence to say otherwise. What great news for us. If Jesus' heart could break for those who were about to torture and kill him, how much love does he have? How much love does he pour upon us? The Apostle Paul, who endured great hardships for his faith. He was imprisoned, he was beaten, he was flogged, he was stoned, he was left for dead. And yet, he says this, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing, in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord, the very love we see witness in the sobbing tears of Jesus We are to embrace that love, to surrender to that love, and allow it to define you. Allow that love to transform you into love, that you might carry out God's good and perfect plan for your life, which is bringing God's love into the world. As Nancy plays in this gentle time, I invite you to sit and to embrace that love, to recognize no matter what your past might contain, nothing in it can separate you from God's love. He mourned for those who were going to torture and kill him. How much would he mourn for you, whom he loves? This is the vision of the way it can be, the way it should be. Shouts of welcome, a joyful procession, a community celebrating together. The same vision is offered to us today. Welcome Christ into your lives. Celebrate his transforming power. Hold fast to his vision of goodness. Peace from the practice of justice. Equality from the practice of respect. And as this week unfolds, let yourselves be overtaken by God's love and then pour it back into the world. The love of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.